and I will think of you. The love you brought is changing us, and yes, it's not in vain. The love you brought tells one and one is two. But we'll always be like you and like me, just like you and like me, just like you and like me. Yes, we'll always be like you and like me, just like you and like me, just like you and like me.
Another spring is gone. Oh, I love the message the song delivers. Just like you and just like me. Welcome again to everyone. And this is a visit to the other side with Core Paranormal NZ. I am your host, George Shields, and this is another part of our journey together. Don't forget, I encourage you to put your views and thoughts forward. Regardless whether they stand with mine or not. It is your right, and as long as your contribution is not rude or X-rated or stupid in some way, I will include it and put your contribution forward on your behalf, or you are welcome to do so yourself. That is totally up to you. Over the last 12 months, I have been contacted several times by about various issues and concerns people have about the paranormal in general and investigating and whatnot. And these people at this time or this stage would like to stay anonymous. I personally have no problem with this, as these concerns matched up with some of my planned future shows and content. It is good to know that there are like-minded people out there, and one is not alone on some of these views and subjects. I would like to get right into this week's subject, One Balmy Night. I have named this part of our journey because of the way one of our investigations unfolded and the balmy things that took place throughout that night. I can say this investigation was at one of New Zealand's oldest museums. The museum is a bit run down and hard to get to these days. In fact, it no longer operates, but it still exists. And it is set well off the beaten track. Lucky my van is a four-wheel drive, and it turned out we needed it, or we would not have got the gear anywhere near the site. Owing to the recent wet weather, the ground was sodden and traction was limited. But with some perseverance, we got there safely. As we all gathered, it was obvious what we were all thinking. The look on our faces must have told a story of its own. We looked at this huge or large building and wondered what it held within its walls and in store for us investigation wise. One could tell by looking at it that over the years there have been a lot of people through the main doorway. Even the ticket office has grooves where the operator or ticket seller tracked the coins backwards and forwards to the public. I had picked up the keys earlier that day, and when I went to unlock the door at the front entrance, I looked at it first. It was a very solid door, as things were made differently back in those days. We tried to identify the wood. All we knew was that it was solid and it was probably native timber. It was obviously made by craftsmen that had pride in their work. I tried the solid looking brass handle. It was firm with no obvious wear and tear. It was locked solid. This was obviously a very well made door handle in its day. I tried to unlock the door, but the key would not turn. Thinking it was just stuck from the lack of use, we kept trying. And after many attempts by everyone on the team, still no joy. We thought we were given the wrong set of keys. After some discussion, I planned on driving back to the owner to get the right keys. Then something strange happened. As I was about to leave, I was actually just getting into my car or van, I heard one of the team call out, "The door is open." Now I can tell you, we all froze to the spot where we were standing. We all checked that door several times over, without being able to turn the key or even move the door handle or budge the door in any way. It was locked solid. Now, after what seemed like forever, and time had come to a standstill at this same time, as if everything was in slow motion, in reality, maybe a minute went by before a conversation amongst the team and myself started. "What is going on? What is happening? It cannot be open. We have been trying for the last half hour with no luck." I tell you, this was getting out there. Yeah. So I decided, look, I asked the sensitive members of our team if they were picking anything up in the way of good or bad or anything, whatever, how they felt about the place in general. I had made the decision not to let any of the team enter until we knew more about what was happening, and even more important, why. I accompanied our sensitive team members just inside the front doorway. Now, this area was a grand entranceway, quite a large area. And we stood there for a few minutes to give the team time to try and connect with what could be there. Still bewildered, we hung our ground and hoped that something would come through. Now, I remember one of the girls saying she felt a presence and she felt it was tormented and not alone. The other sensitive seemed to be hesitant in coming forward with what she was feeling. But I noticed she seemed uncomfortable and backed away and out the front door. We followed and checked to make sure she was okay. She said that she thinks she had picked up on another presence and something among them felt like it was pure evil. Both sensitives came to the same conclusion. There was multiple presences in this building. After all of what had happened since we had arrived, the rest of the team were visibly hesitant to go any further into this investigation. At this point, it looked like this investigation was over before it even started, but anyway. I have to admit, as team leader, I was having second thoughts about carrying on with it, this one as well. Now, after a team decision, I went inside to check things out and look for anyone else that might be there in the premises, like someone might have broken in or whatever and still be inside. I took a radio with me and a good strong torch. I made my way to the fuse box and turned on the power at the main switch. After looking around, I was able to turn on some lights. I made a thorough search of the whole building and checked all the windows. There was no sign of anyone else or any damage to the windows. I particularly took note of the windows because if somebody had have broken in, that's how they would have had to have gotten in, because there was no way you would get past that front door. And the rear exit was just as sturdy. After making a video diary about what had just taken place for future reference and any reports, we got the thermoses out and had a coffee and something to eat. After a short while, we decided to start the investigation. We had spoken about it and we thought we'd give it a go, but only use the portable equipment. I have always had this rule in place, in case we get split up. Keep in pairs, and a radio is not an option, it is a requirement. And it is the first thing I pass out when we arrive at any investigation, along with making the first aid kit visible and everybody knows where it is. I remember there were 7 of us present at this investigation and everyone made sure we stuck together. And as a team leader, this made me feel better about letting this go on. With exceptions, if things got too strange, I would pull the plug. I think everyone's safety and well-being mentally is more important than any investigation. Now, the layout of the main floor plan was very spacious, with plenty of room to move freely. So as a team, we had no problems moving around in a bunch. We chose an area what looked like the center of the main floor to start our first vigil. I had set up several pieces of recording and data logging equipment nearby. I was interested in trying out a new piece of equipment on this investigation, a proximity meter. I had owned it for a while, but never got round to using it or trying it out. I was trying this meter and eager to find out how it performed. It works on a different level to, let's say, pacify our motion detectors, and another different level completely to something like an ELF or EMF. And in some ways it has thermal properties with it as well, sensors. The only way I can explain how it operates internally is a mixture of everything I've just mentioned and possibly more. Now, this meter, when it is supposed to be very accurate, but then most people that make these things make that claim anyway, and we were yet to find out. Anyway, with the vigil underway, only a few minutes went past. Then one of our sensitives called out, "I need to get out of here." Yes, it was the same young lady. She said, I can still feel the evil bearing down on me. I took her out and sat with her for a while, making sure she was okay before I went back inside. I was going to pull the plug. I was on the radio to ask if everyone could start packing the equipment up, as I had also placed some portable full spectrum video cameras in prime placements, along with the vigil equipment. I had only just finished my request on the radio when something struck the back of my hand that had the radio in it. And the radio went flying out of my hand, and I could hear it hitting and skidding across the concrete floor. Now, at this time, we did not have the lights on, but one could still make out outlines if someone was moving. And I could not see anything or anyone near me. I immediately panned around with my head torch, but could not see anyone where I was standing. I got on the radio and asked if everyone was, where everyone was, you know, in the foyer or all, wherever. And everyone was out doing their thing. No one was near me. I knew their responses were true because I would have seen them when I panned around with my torch. This made absolutely no sense. Upon investigation, I went over to the radio. I estimate the distance that travelled from my hand would be somewhere in the vicinity of about 15 to 20 metres. The force that hit my hand was quite strong. It took me completely by surprise. Next, as team leader, I found myself asking myself, have you made the wrong decision to let this investigation start at all? As there were signs at the beginning that warranted proceed with caution, if at all. I would like to mention at this stage, this quandary any team leader has. You've got to be thinking about this all the time. You've got to think of people's safety and well-being. Because if something goes wrong and there is there's personal harm due to the investigation, the team leader is responsible for the health and safety of the whole team who are present. In this case, representing Core NZ. If your team leader does not recognise this, then here is a piece of free advice. Take it if you like or not, up to you. Just walk away and find another group that cares about personal safety. Better still, do your homework and form your own investigative group. Okay, back to the investigation. Once a sensitive part of our team was outside and settled in the van, I returned to help gather the equipment inside. And much to my surprise, one of our more seasoned team members come running past me, not at full pelt, but in a hurry, and on the way out, yelling to me, "This place is insane. I'm out of here." Can't blame them. At this stage, I felt the team and I had no control over what was happening. I called out on the radio to the rest of the team that was still inside, "Put down whatever you are doing and come outside now." After a long discussion with the team member that ran out, we soon found out what happened to him and why he ran out. He explained that while he was setting up one of the wireless IR cams, someone started tapping him just below his shoulder. And thinking it was one of us, he said, "What do you want?" He got no reply, so he turned around to find he was the only one in the area. Thinking he did not know what was happening and to what degree, he took off. I ask if at least one other team member would come back inside with me to recover the rest of the equipment. I had needed one other team member, put it that way. My apologies, I am running on an old memory here. And we went, I had actually two team leaders, team people actually volunteered to go in with me, but I only took one in with me. Everything was going smoothly with no anomalous interference My teammate suddenly said, I feel sick. I want to throw up. Not knowing at this stage why, I took him outside and made sure he was okay. After about 10 minutes, he said he felt fine and the nausea feeling had gone. And yes, we were all thinking, is this the influence of this building? Yet another episode to add to the others. I made the decision, right or wrong, to go back inside alone, as there was only a few things left to retrieve. I felt that my own event that happened earlier, hopefully the menacing presence would leave me alone. I had two full spectrum video cameras to get, to collect and get them out of there. But the strangest thing started happening to me. I found myself practically walking around in circles, nowhere near either of the cameras. I stopped after I realized what I was doing. And it was not intentional. It took me about 5 minutes to recover the cameras. It should have only have taken me at the maximum a minute at the most. Something was influencing me. And hey, look, that was just the strangest thing. I don't hold any particular speciality, like any sensitivity or anything towards the paranormal. In fact, I need technology for me to be able to look into it. So I can't claim of being a psychic or a sensitive. But I was influenced in some way. Look, after we packed the equipment away, I went inside the front doorway to perform white lights. Now, I spent a lot of time to make sure what was there would be staying there and not follow any one of us home. I have to admit, I took longer and went deeper this time into the white lights. And I also thanked whatever is there for having us. This investigation did have other moments that fitted into the balmy description, but I think you get the idea what it was like and what we went through. This is not a put down towards anyone, as it can happen to all of us at some time, regardless of how tough or seasoned you think you are. Even some of our seasoned investigators found it hard to handle and felt the negativity of the inhabitants of this old museum. In my opinion, we did the right thing and closed the investigation down early. I informed the owner and did a full comprehensive report on what little we did. All the recorded data, video, thermal imaging, and personal events of interest. I have to say, even though we closed down early, the report ended up nearly the size of a book. Right, look, I would like to hear about any balmy. Anything balmy that's happened to you, for the want of a better description. You might have had, I don't know, some similar happenings. I am sure Core NZ is not the only team that has had this sort of experience while investigating. There has to be others out there. Let's share. I would like to reiterate, there is no shame or embarrassment while on an investigation that you feel you need to leave it because you feel threatened in some way. In fact, it is the sensible thing to do, and to hell with what anybody else thinks. You hang in there. Go with your own gut instinct. Okay, that's it for another week. Do not forget, if you are interested in the paranormal and are not directly participating in it, and you do want to, please do your homework and maybe even form your own team. Or join an existing one. But be careful. The paranormal here in New Zealand needs new, young blood and fresh, respectful ideas towards how we can all investigate the paranormal. I think youth have got a lot to give towards the paranormal here in New Zealand and probably worldwide. Okay. As usual, as the subject is inherently difficult to approach, stay true to the job at hand. This is George Shields and the Core Paranormal NZ team saying, take care and see you next time.